I'm talking today to Dr. Lisa Wapp, who is a research fellow with Menzies School of Health Research based in Brisbane. Thanks, Lisa, for your time.
Thanks for having me.
You've done some research on how long it takes Indigenous women to get from a positive pap smear to an actual clinical follow-up as compared with non-Indigenous women.
That's correct.
Why did you think that research needed doing?
In Australia, Indigenous women have a much higher burden of cervical cancer and much higher mortality. And our research space is looking at lots of different aspects of the prevention continuum for Indigenous women, comparing that with non-Indigenous women. And so we've looked at screening in Queensland and found that Indigenous women participate much less than non-Indigenous women. And we looked at prevalence of high-grade abnormalities, and we saw that the burden of high-grade abnormalities was much higher in Indigenous women. And so I guess the last piece of that story is to see, well, for those women that have the high-grade abnormalities, are they waiting longer and do they get followed up with colposcopy according to clinical guidelines? And so that's really the last step of this research, and that's the focus of this paper that's going to be published in MJA.
What was the population you were looking at?
Okay, so we were looking at women aged 20 to 68 years old in Queensland, from 2000 to 2009, who had a record of a high-grade abnormal pap smear, or possible high-grade abnormal pap smear. Recorded within that time.
And what did you find?
And so what we found that, so the clinical guidelines state that a high-grade abnormality or possible high-grade abnormality should be followed up within 2 months of that date of the pap smear. And we found that for Indigenous women in Queensland, they were much much less likely to have follow-up within the 2 months. So about 34% of the women who had a high-grade abnormality would be followed up at 2 months. And that was compared with about 46% of non-Indigenous women.
Okay.
So still not great for everyone, much less for Indigenous women. And then we looked at two-month intervals. So, okay, so if they're not 2 months, so what about 4 months? And what we found that at 4 months, again, it was a little bit less for Indigenous women. But by 6 months, it was about this, similar proportions had been followed up between Indigenous and non-Indigenous women. And interestingly, at 12 months, we found that a greater proportion of Indigenous women had actually been followed up compared to non-Indigenous women.
Well, that's interesting.
About 70% of Indigenous women compared to about 66% of non-Indigenous women.
Why is it taking longer for Indigenous women to be followed up?
Yeah, so unfortunately, that wasn't really the focus of our study. The focus was to really just find, like, is there a difference in that wait time? And I think I should have probably said at the start that what we found was the median follow-up time was about 100 days for an Indigenous woman in this study, and about 69 days for non-Indigenous women. So a huge difference in that time. We can't tell with the data that we have why that might be happening, why there's a difference in delay. And also we can't tell for all women why there's a difference. So it's not just for the Indigenous women. Obviously, it would be a multiple of factors, so person-related factors, so not wanting to know what the results are, if it could be bad.
Yeah.
And particularly for Indigenous women with stigma, there's a lot of stigma around cancer, so that could definitely be a factor. Access, making time.
Yeah.
And then also if there's a service that's available, that's culturally available, and clinician-friendly. So there's lots of different factors that could be, as well as distance and where people live. And
all of those things,
Yeah, lots of competing interests.
What's the next step for the research? What do you want to do next?
The next step for this research, I suppose, is, as I said before, it really finishes off some of what we were doing in Queensland around participation and abnormalities, and this is the sort of the second part of the abnormalities story. Now we want to see whether that happens in other states and territories. So we're looking at this semi-nationally, and we're really trying to work out if all these differences in the pre-diagnostic part explains why there's such a difference in survival amongst Indigenous women. So that's what I've been working on at the moment.
In terms of Indigenous women getting treatment for cervical cancer, is this a bigger issue, or is the fact that they're not screening as much as they should be a bigger issue?
I think when you can prevent, that's always the best way. So if we can prevent the cases of cervical cancer, then that's where we should be focusing. And we have a great screening program in Australia. and now vaccination available. So there's not really any excuse as to why we can't prevent cases of cervical cancer in the Indigenous population. I think that that's where the focus should be, and I think the focus really is on making sure adolescents are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, and that Indigenous women are regularly engaged with the screening program. The screening program can engage with those women. And I think the focus really should be on women who have never had a pap test or very rarely screened. And I think what we know from Australia in general is that most women in Australia who have cervical cancer haven't had a pap test in the previous 10 years or never at all. And that's certainly the case for Indigenous women. It's just that there's a lot more of Indigenous women in that category. I think, though, post-diagnosis is really important. So we need to make sure that, okay, if there is a diagnosis of cervical cancer, can we make sure that Indigenous women stay engaged with the healthcare system enough to follow through with treatment, that they're diagnosed early, and that comes also back to screening, comes back to follow-up time, and then they complete that course of treatment. There are other factors that also come into play, like the level of comorbidity that might be associated with the Indigenous population, and our team's also looking at that work about how that might influence screening behaviours but also survival outcomes. One of the big obstacles we have in terms of cervical cancer prevention for Indigenous women, reporting for Indigenous women isn't done from the National Cervical Screening Program, and it's never been done.
So if I go along and have a screening?
Yep.
Nobody asks me if I'm Indigenous or...
They may.
Yeah.
But if they do, the pathology report form that it's recorded on, because obviously that pap smear goes off to the lab, doesn't record Indigenous status.
Okay.
And so this is a well-known problem for a long time.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's probably one of the novel things about the work that we've done at Menzies is we kind of decided that that really wasn't good enough anymore. That excuse of not having another pathology report form wasn't good, and so we thought a little bit differently about how we could approach the problem. So what we did was record linkage. So we knew the Indigenous woman would be recorded on the pap test register, we just couldn't identify who was and who wasn't.
Right.
So we linked that with hospital data, which has quite good Indigenous status recorded, and we know that women, as particularly Indigenous women, our main focus, go to hospital around that age group as well.
Yeah.
And so we linked that. Obviously it was a lot bit technical than that,
but
that's a general gist. And so what we were able to do in Queensland, and now we've done that in New South Wales, Victoria, South Australia, Western Australia and the Territory, is able to have these pap test registers with Indigenous status assigned to it.
Right.
And so for the first time in the National Cervical Screening Program history, which is sort of more than 25 years now, we're able to report these program indicators. But I think the important thing in terms of like Australia's setting is that we've had such a great response to the National Cervical Screening Program since its introduction. Incidence of mortality in the Australian women has decreased by half, more than half.
Yeah.
So why haven't we been able to see that amongst the Indigenous women? And I think the whole thing is if you can't measure it, then you can't really do anything about it.
You might have those differences, but
exactly, or you might not, and it's good to know. And I think a successful public health program, and especially a successful screening program, really depends on the ability to assess how it is meeting the needs of the population. Yeah. And currently, from where we sit from our research, we don't feel that it's adequately addressed the needs of Indigenous women because they're not participating in screening. And you can see that then with the high burden of cervical cancer.
We're changing the way we do cervical screening this year. Is that going to help with the Indigenous population?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
So May 1, 2017, we'll change to a five-yearly HPV test. And I think that's good news. It means less screening for women over their life.
Oh, God,
yeah. which is great news. Part of the renewal is that there is an option for self-sampling for women who are identified as never screened or under-screened. And it's still clinician-guided, but that will be an option, and that's been shown to be acceptable within the Indigenous population. So we hope especially for what I was talking about before, about the targeting those women who had never had a pap test, a great thing to be able to offer for those women. But I suppose what we see is the issue around that is that Indigenous women still have to engage with, and the service still has to engage with them to make sure, have you had a pap test, are you up to date? So I guess there are some big issues that we need to work with the Indigenous community around how we can better meet the needs of those women.
This is probably a silly question. Are there enough Aboriginal healthcare workers?
Never.
Yeah, never.
So I think the more that we have, the better. And I think we really need to support our Aboriginal health workers to engage in the space of cervical screening prevention. And obviously there are real champions around. But we need to make sure that that's still a priority. And I think that when we think about Indigenous health, we just need to make sure that if there is a woman sitting in front of us who is in within screening recommended age, that we have asked, that we have followed up, have you had your screening tests? And I think we might get stuck in just treating what's in front of us. I know it must be very difficult within their consultation times, but I think we really have to try. And so along with the renewal, they will have a national screening register that will also include the bowel screening program as well as the cervical screening program. And it is said that that will include Indigenous status, and we really hope that that happens and that there's regular reporting on Indigenous women, how they're interacting with the cervical screening program. So apart from our work around looking at whether these differences in screening behaviours impact or are the whole reason why Indigenous women don't survive as long as non-Indigenous women, we're also looking at, okay, well, what services that we can identify that do screen their Indigenous population well, what are those factors and what can we learn from them, and trying to see whether those are strategies that we can implement in other services that maybe aren't necessarily meeting the needs of their Indigenous population.
Like what?
Like having access to a female GP, like having an active program that follows up their eligible female population around screening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would be interested to see what services know around what adolescents are vaccinated or not. So at the moment, HPV vaccination is offered through the school program. And so I guess there's some questions around that about what happens if a child's not present that day, how do they get followed up, mm-hmm. are they followed up through their service provider? Our research team is at the moment focusing on making sure that we can get these results out for a better national picture, which, as before we've said, is really important, and also looking at where we can move to next, what strategies we can implement, and also looking at the HPV space as well for adolescent Indigenous kids.
Thank you for your time.
No worries.